As we go through the passion story in Luke, or as told by Luke, and find ourselves in different places, tonight we find ourselves in the garden where Jesus was praying. Jesus prays, and we notice in Luke that he is agonizing. He is agonizing over what we would really want to be a simple thing, which is to do the will of God. But it often is a very agonizing thing. On paper, it seems like it should be no problem, but for Christ especially, doing the Father's will is incredibly demanding. For him, it means taking upon himself the cup of God's wrath and putting himself onto the cross. And so Jesus goes to pray because he knows that very soon, in that very garden, he is going to be betrayed. And his prayer can be summed up in one simple sentence, and I like it from older translations better: "Not my will be done, but yours." Luke tells us Jesus withdrew from the disciples about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's all we hear from this prayer. We don't know how long Jesus was there praying in anguish, though we know that he was there long enough that he began to sweat from his anguish that he was in, the torment of his soul. And Luke, who was a physician, a doctor, tells us even more, that his sweat was so much that it was mixed with his very blood. That is the torment that Jesus is in over doing the will of the Father. But all we hear is, "Not my will, but yours be done." And apparently he was there long enough for his disciples even to fall asleep as Jesus prayed. We don't hear the words. We just hear, "Thy will be done." What is the will of God for us? If you're about to go into college, Katie, Rachel, this might be a question that is on your mind a lot. What is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to do? But it's a question that we all have at times, and probably many times throughout our life. Some ways it's hard to discern what that is, but there are ways that we know also what God's will is, because we hear it in Scripture. We hear things like, "Honor your father and mother." We hear things like, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We hear Scripture tell us, "Be faithful to your spouse." "Care for your children." "Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." They can seem like very simple words, like it's easy to say them. But as soon as you say, "I do," or "I will," things get complicated. And then doing the will of God often sends us into places of anguish, of real deep distress and exhaustion. Honor your father and mother. What does that look like when mom and dad are failing in health and they need to get more care? Does it look like sending them to a home? Does it look like bringing them into your own home? What does that look like? How do we obey God's will? There's anguish there. When your child is not coming home at night, or when they're struggling in school or struggling with friends, if all sorts of things, the question of how do you do God's will in caring for your child can send you into places of anguish, places where you find yourself praying all night long. When your spouse is absent, maybe from long hours at work or because of strife, and they're absent physically as well as emotionally. How do you continue to do God's will? How do you continue to pray? When you're at school and you're struggling to do the right thing, the agony of doing God's will can be strong and heartfelt, and sometimes we just don't want to do it. And if we do, we often find ourselves deep in prayer, often with no answers. And those times of prayer when we're so exhausted and we're agonizing, we're in torment, often emotions will swirl around us. Sorrow, maybe, at what is being lost. Maybe you have times of joy at what might happen. Fear at what could happen. Hope for what might be. Confidence that God is watching. But uncertainty, maybe, of whether He hears or not. You might have anger. You might have compassion. You might have longing for things to be over. You might have fear that it will end. And so we watch, we pray, we cry, we fear, and soon we become exhausted. How do we do this will of God? There's only so much agony one person can bear, and perhaps we then find ourselves to be like the disciples who simply couldn't take it any longer, and they fell asleep. Luke tells us that they fell asleep and were worn out from being so sad, so sorrowful. There's a psalm in Scripture, I think it's Psalm 77, that ends abruptly. And scholars think that the psalmist was in so much pain. He talks about how he couldn't sleep because he was in so much pain. And eventually the psalm just ends abruptly because they think the psalmist just fell asleep from his sorrow, from his torment. Yet we continue to pray. We continue to pray. But more importantly, Christ continues to pray. When His disciples fall asleep, Jesus continues to pray. He continues to seek out God's will. Not my will, but yours be done. He goes on. He prays. He rises, and He goes to meet His betrayer. God's love ends up being stronger than any and all sorrow. And in the very place where we find ourselves to be deepest in our sorrow, deepest in our weakness, Christ is strongest. The simple will of God for us and for our neighbor produces agony. It can produce pain, trials, but we live in the comfort in knowing that God cares and His love is far, far beyond our loving. His strength is beyond our weakness. As we heard in our reading from Romans, nothing in this world can separate you from the love of Christ. He who did not spare, Romans says, His one Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all that we need? There is nothing in this world that God's love has not conquered, nothing that can separate you from His love. Despite our lack of ability in doing God's will, the Lord is there. Jesus did the will of the Father. He did what we cannot do. He went to the cross for us, died for us, so that He could be our place of loving strength, that we could rest in His love and rest in His arms. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give You thanks for Your strength. We give You thanks that Christ did the will of the Father, that it was the Father's will to send Him into death, and Christ's will to be obedient to the Father's will. and that through this, salvation could come to us. Forgiveness of sins could come to us. Your Spirit could come to us, empowering us to live as you would have us live. We pray this in your name. Amen.